is the 5th of April, and my goodness, we're getting close to the eclipse. Anyway, I'm not making fun of it. God is saying things. The other day they had an earthquake. I think it was Tuesday evening, or it would have been Wednesday morning for them. They had an earthquake and in New Jersey just today. They had an earthquake. It reached Philly and New York City. All of creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. All of creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. We're just getting ready to be, I believe we are getting ready to be revealed in our culture, in our society. I was reading in... I was reading up in Samuel, and the nation of Israel wanted to be like the other nations. And my question is, does the church want to be like other nations? Does the church want to be like the world? Does the church want to be powerless? Does the church want to, does the church want to be, anemic when it comes to the things of the faith? Does it want to be so accepted by the world? I know Dr. David Wilkerson said one time, can we be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good? Well, how can anybody be that heavenly minded? We must be earthly good. We must be lights into this world. I've been sharing on reels over the week about being little lights, you know, and as I was sharing this morning that we have little votive candles. I remember I did this experiment at home one time. I got a little votive candle in a really dark room at a dark time of the evening, and I lit the candle, and it was amazing. The candle, and you know, votive candles, they don't produce a lot of lumens. They don't have all of it. It's not like a 100-watt bulb. What it does is, and this is sad, but what happens is that light dispelled the darkness. It wasn't even a fight. That little light got rid of the darkness, and I could see. We show the light, not that people can see the light. We show people so that they can see. We are lights. So people don't look at us. We are light so that people can see. And we're praying, and my prayer is that they get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer has always been, Lord, let them see you in me. Let them see you in me. Would you do that, God? And so I'm here today, and I want you to see the sobriety of the of what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have faith. I want you to see the sobering reality that while we are the most joyful people, we have a reason to be joyful, not because our favorite team won the Super Bowl or our favorite soccer team or in European football team won the championship, or that our team won the World Cup or the World Series or whatever. We are the most joyful because we were once lost, but Jesus found us. That's why we are to be joyful. Jesus was someone of all joy. The Bible says the God of all hope would fill us with joy overflowing. And that's my heart's desire. I'm going to be having we're trying to get the monies to go to school. And I'll be able to have a tax-deductible link for you shortly for my BSSM schooling if you want to be a part of that. I'm looking for 100 people to donate $55 to pay for the school, and I want to have it done before the end of August when school starts. So if you want to be one of those, TomandSarah@Outlook.com, and that's how to do it. I take Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Zelle. And so once that takes place, I'm excited to say, once that takes place, God will, be able to go to the school, with no, with no distractions. And that's my big deal, is I don't want to have distractions. So if you want to invest monetarily into my schooling, I ask you to do that, because, and then from that point, it's actually an investment into the next 40 or 50 years of my life of being a minister of the gospel, which I already am, but to be a powerful minister of the gospel, to see, I don't want to come with persuasive words of men, but I want to come with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is one thing that I'm going to be doing. Not a time of reprieve. I believe that I'm in a season of, as it says, of the molting of the eagles, and God is doing some powerful things in me, and I want to thank God for that. All right, so here we are. James, the second chapter. I'm in book of James, chapter 2. Verse 14, we'll start off there. Again, TomandSarah@outlook.com if you want to get a hold of me. Like, comment, share, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, my podcast channel. This is how you help this ministry. Anyway, my dear brothers, verse 14, and my dear brothers and sisters, one version says brethren, okay? What good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Let men see your good works that they may glorify your Father in heaven." What good is it if you have faith, or you claim to have faith, but you don't have any good works to go along with it? In other words, what good is it if you claim to be a believer and yet your lifestyle does not show that you're a believer? There's a lot of people that get confused. God loves me. Yes, he does love you. God loves you, and he's not looking for a religious output. He's looking for faith. When he comes, will he find faith on the earth? How could this kind of faith save someone? For example, if a brother or sister in the faith is poorly clothed and hungry, and you leave them saying, "Goodbye, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat," but you don't provide them a coat or even a cup of soup, what good is your faith? So then, faith that doesn't involve action is phony, or it is fruitless, or it is dead. Keith Green wrote a song, Asleep in the Light, and he said, what we do is somebody comes to us and we say, "God bless you, be at peace," and yet all heaven just weeps. Jesus came to your door and you left him out on the streets. And as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what Jesus said. And as much, you know, he was talking about the sheep and the goats. In as much as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. He's talking to the goats there. Faith that doesn't involve action is phony. You can believe God, but if you're not doing the things of God, forget it. It's phony. We can sit behind our pulpits and we can talk all we like, but if we're not loving people, ministering to people, if somebody is hungry and you have an extra hamburger, give it to them. I remember I was in the Capitol Hill district of Seattle, and there was a guy hanging out of Wendy's, and he was asking for money. And I don't give money to the poor. I don't give money to the homeless or beggars. What I do is I ask them what they want, and then if I have the ability, I can go give it for him. I remember a guy, I was in Bonnie Lake. I was living in Bonnie Lake. The guy said, "I will work for food." And I said, "Great, come on. Well, what are you doing?" "I'm digging I have some work for you." "I don't want to work. I just want the money." "I know." There are people like that. I get it. So what I do is I say, "Well, what do you want?" I remember when I was pastoring, one time a woman called. She needed diapers and milk. So I said, "Great, where are you at?" And so my ex-wife, she went with another gal and one of the elders of the church, one of the gal elders, and they went to buy her diapers and milk. No, I don't want diapers or milk. I just want money. Well, I told them not to give it to them. So this kid's outside, and he's asking for money. And I said, well, what do you want money for? Well, I want to get something to eat. And I said, okay, wait till I get out. So I went into Wendy's, and I bought some food. I bought a couple of hamburgers and some French fries and a Coke. And then so I went back outside, and I said, here, and I gave him the hamburger. And he woofed this hamburger down like it was his last supper or something. Like he hadn't eaten in 6 years. So I gave him all that I had, and I went back in and got some lunch for me. And so we get to have this opportunity to show that we believe. And I didn't just leave him there. I said, I'm giving you this in the name of Jesus, who loves you and he cares about you. Because if you're not going to put action behind your words, you're phony. I didn't say that. James did. I have a friend who's struggling to find a place to live. And the place where she's staying at now, she's living in an RV. And the place where she's staying at, they got into an argument or discussion. And so she's having trouble finding a place to live. There's people in Cooper Landing that are finding a place to live. Not many homeless in Alaska, I'll tell you that. When I was in Fairbanks in the wintertime, there wasn't a whole lot of homeless people on the streets begging for money. There was a guy in a wheelchair. He had a sign outside of Walmart, and his sign did not say, give me food or money. His sign said, have a great day, God bless you. That was it. So I gave him some food. You know, faith without works is dead. Faith without, that does not involve action, is phony. But someone might object and say, verse 18, one person has faith and another person has works. All right? This is probably the most hard verse they had to translate into English. It was just really hard because it has so much ambiguity in it. But one person has faith and another person has works. All right? I remember I had just been born again. And this guy, I was witnessing to this guy, and this guy came out. And he said, well, my aunt so-and-so has a better life than, lives better than you. She's a good woman. She acts better than you. And I looked at him and I said, because when I go witnessing, I don't tell people how good I am. I tell people how good God is and how he can change. And I said to him, if your aunt is so good without Jesus, imagine how good she would be with him. And then if I am this bad with Jesus, imagine how bad I would be without him. One person has faith and another person has works. Another person has the deeds. There's philanthropists. I get it. And there are people who claim to have faith. So works without faith is dead, just like faith without works is dead. Works without faith in Jesus is phony. And faith without works is phony. It's the same thing. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I'll show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. Now, faith, works does not save you. Good works does not save you. But not doing good works can keep you can really cause a lot of trouble. I'm going to show you that I'm a believer by the works that I do. I do things for people because of Jesus. I remember I better not go there. I was thinking, should I share this story? But I'm not going to go there. Verse 19, you can believe all you want that there is one true God. This is from the Shema. You can believe all you want that the Lord our God is one God. And that's wonderful. But even the demons know this and they tremble with fear before him. Even the demons know that he is one God. And yet they writhe on their bellies. Now they fear God. We don't fear God. We need to fear God. We need to come to a place where we are not just honoring God and in awe of God, but that we actually fear him. Imagine what he can do. And these demons that fear before him, they are unchanged. They remain demons. There's no redemption for angels. Angels cannot feel what you feel. Angels have never been able to understand what you've been through if you are a lover of Jesus. You come to Jesus, angels don't know what it's like to be redeemed. They cannot be redeemed. The demons tremble before Jesus. They believe, but they don't believe in their heart. They know. And they remain. Oh, feeble sons of Adam. In other words, oh, empty man. Do you need further evidence that faith divorced from good works is phony? They go together. We are his workmanship created in God for what? For good works. And what do the good works do? They glorify our Father who is in heaven. Wasn't our ancestor Abraham found righteous before God because of his works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? There's a whole story with that, and I'll get into it in a second. Can you see how his action cooperated with his faith, and by his action, faith found its full expression? So in this way, the scripture was fulfilled. Because Abraham believed God, his faith was exchanged for God's righteousness. That's in Genesis 15:6. It was credited to him. So Abraham was told that he was going to have a son, Isaac, from Sarah. He has Isaac. And you can imagine what that's like. Man, he was married all those years. His wife was 90 years old. She has a baby. It was a miracle. And God says, sacrifice him. So he takes, without question, he takes Isaac and his servants. And they go and they prepare a sacrifice. And he tells his servants, we will be right back. His son says, Dad, we have the fire. We have the wood. We have the rope. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the offering? And Abraham said, God will provide an offering. God will provide the lamb. Abraham knew God's character. Abraham knew God's what God was like. That'll never change. You always know what God is going to be like. You always know where you stand with God. The paradox is, you don't know what he's going to do next. So Abraham ties Isaac down, and I don't know if there was a battle that Isaac had as much faith as Abraham did, but Isaac being a teenager, I'm sure Abraham's trying to tie him up. Isaac, like, not today, Dad, you know, gets him up on the altar, raises his arm to stab his son, and God says, now I know you trust me. If he didn't do that, okay, God, and, you know, has him up there and he just kind of hem-haws around waiting for God to say something. No. He did it. We have to trust God in the hard times. When we can't see, we need to trust. When you cannot see God, you need to trust him. Abraham did, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. Not that we believe in our faith or we trust our faith. We trust in the one who is ever faithful. You trust the one who is faithful. That woman that touched Jesus' garb, touched his, the hem of his garment, she had faith that if I just can touch his garment, I will be healed. And Abraham became known as the lover of God, or as the friend of God. The Greek word here is used, phileo, which means friend of God, a friend, a brother, a friend. 2 Chronicles 27, Isaiah 41, 18, and Daniel 3:35. He became a friend of God, a lover of God. So now it's clear that a person is seen as righteous in God's eyes, not merely by faith alone, but by his works. Not merely by faith alone, but the combined faith and works. You're acting upon your faith. You know, faith is not denying your circumstance. Faith is knowing that there is a higher life. There's a higher rulership in this. Faith does not deny you, like you may be sick. But faith says, in heaven there is no sickness. And I trust God that he will heal me. And the same is true of the prostitute named Rahab. Rahab heard the testimony of the Israelites defeating Egypt, or God defeating Egypt. So she hides the spies. She received the spies into her home and helped them escape from the city by another route. That's in Joshua 2. You know, she hides them and then sends them out another way for a few days. And then Jericho comes back, people of Jericho. And then Rahab and her family are saved, delivered from the rout that, defeat that Jericho experienced, Rahab was saved from. And actually, if you look at the genealogies, Jesus came from Rahab. Jesus came from Ruth. For just as a human body without the spirit is a dead corpse, so faith without the expression of good works is dead. Your body without breath is dead. Works without the spirit of God, without faith, is dead. Both of them. You need both to function properly. To do right, you need both. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then here's the works. You must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you don't diligently seek him by denying the things around you. God will speak to me a lot of times. And I know people get, you know, I've been praying. I got to tell you, I've been praying. When I was here in Reading the last time, I would get gold on my hands at different times during the day when I was praying and stuff. And I haven't had that since I've been back. But it's all over my desk table right now. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway, for just as the human body without the spirit, without breath, is a dead corpse, so faith without the expression of good works is dead. They work together, and we need to have these expressions. Don't just say you love God and not do the things that God has asked you to do. Don't just say you love God and just leave it like that. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. That's a religious act, and it's not a good work. It's not bad, but it's not a work that God is talking about. Many times I'll go to the store and God will speak to me and he'd say this to this person. I remember at Christmas time I was shopping with a friend before Christmas. This was like weeks before. And we went to the Dollar Tree and there was a woman there that was highlighted. Okay. And they were shopping and I just said something, you know, like trying to make small talk. Got to the register and God told me to pay for their groceries or their supply, whatever it was they were buying, pay for it. I didn't know how much it was going to be. And so I told the lady at the register that I will pay for it, put it all together. And they were like, no. I said, no. God told me to do this. There you go. And we got to pray for them and found out that one of them had just gone through chemotherapy, you know, and that God spared her life. So understand this thing. Understand what I'm saying here. God is a faithful God, and he wants to use it. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit to do the things that he did and greater, according to John 14. And so we must do the end greater. It's our job. We've got to do the end greater. That's the works that show our faith. If somebody comes to you and says, would you pray for me? I'm sick. Or would you pray for me? I need. Pray for them. And I remember, I think it was George Mueller said, never ask God to meet a need for somebody else that you can meet. Somebody said, I need $5. And I don't carry cash a lot, but somebody said, I need $5. And I happened to have been given $5, and God told me to give it to him. Love means not looking for something in return, but God can't help it, and he'll return it to you. That is showing your faith by your works. God, I need this $5, but you told me to give it to him. Amen. So we'll pick up chapter 3 tomorrow. Oh, what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Saturday. Wow. And I want to thank you for joining me. Remember to subscribe, like, comment, and share these videos. Like, comment, and share my Facebook here, Tom and Sarah. My YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah, my podcast channels, and you know, and this is one way that you can help this ministry grow. That's how you can keep me seen in the media realm. I at one time, and I still have this desire to start an internet radio station here on the West Coast, and these are all. These are all beginning stages of this. So go ahead, like, comment, share, subscribe to my channels, and praise God. That'll be great. All right. Go out and do the stuff. These things that I do, you're going to do and greater, Jesus said. When we have the Holy Spirit, and if you ask anything, if it's in accordance with his name, he will do it. He promised. All right. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. That's how to get a hold of me. I'm asking you to invest and fund my schooling. I need 100 people to donate $55 or 1,000 people to donate $5.50. Whatever it takes. In this manner, I can get to the school. Anyway, God bless you guys. Contact me, Tom and Sarah, at Outlook.com, and we'll go from there. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.